Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Psalm 137. Let's jump straight in to verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hung our harps. You can see it now. The harps are hung in the willow trees. They make no music, but there is a sound being made in unison. Sometimes when you've lost everything except your life, there are no songs. There are no songs because there's no words. Instead, just the sound of weeping. You're under the willow trees flanking the great Euphrates River that runs through Babylon. It's the only place you can go because it's free and it has shade. You have no money, no power, no home, and so you sit there and weep for all that you've lost. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. And you remember Zion. You lost it. After the Babylonian army came and slaughtered most of the men you knew, they then carried you away with all the women, children, and scholars like Daniel. You'd watched your cities burn, the temple destroyed, your possessions now behind you in ash. You watched people murdered, raped, and you yourself suffered the cruelty of a forced 900-mile march from Jerusalem to this place. You've gone from a place you lived to a place you now exist. And that place is a new location, but it will never be home. It will never be Zion. No matter where you go from here, you will always feel lost. How did you get here? How did this happen? You remember. The prophet's warning over and over that if the people of Zion did not repent, God would turn you out of your land. He'd warned us. Foreign armies would carry us away. And so here you were. Your captors have been cruel, but now they're bored. One of them walks up gruffly, points at the harp hanging in the tree. Who can play that? Play us a happy tune. I'm sick of all this crying. Verse 3. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? We're grieving. We're not here to entertain you. Kill us. But there's no song left in us. Only the depression brought on by our loss and the smoldering anger of so many injustices. As Pippin said in the Two Towers when asked to sing before his captor, we have no songs for grand halls and evil times. They say that there are five stages of grief experienced when you have a significant loss. There's no order to them, but you eventually cycled through them all. And you coming from Jerusalem to Babylon have been cycling through all of it. Denial? There was denying. For years, when the prophets warned, when God warned, but we wouldn't believe him. There's no denial now. We're in Babylon. All I have to do is open my eyes from the nightmares I suffer. And when I do, the nightmares become reality again until I can sleep. And those waking nightmares turn back into the slumbering ones. Depression? Yeah, here in verse 3. How can I sing? We can't even sing. We've got nothing left. Bargaining? Anger? Yeah, we'll get to anger later. And finally, acceptance, the final stage of grieving. This psalm is the acceptance. We finally realize where we are and why we're here. The writing of this psalm is the post-processing of severe trauma. And the day I could pick up my harp again and play was the day my grief poured out in song. But back to the bargaining in verse 5. If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. You see, you realize that you're on the wrong side of the covenant promises of God. On the right side, He'd promised blessing and peace if we'd been faithful, but we weren't. But we will be now. I've heard that Jeremiah, one of the prophets, has prophesied that God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." So He hasn't given up on us. But Jeremiah also said, we'd be here for 70 years. By the way, I've seen this verse printed on so many coffee mugs. Jeremiah 29:11. Yet for the Hebrews in Babylon, the backside of that mug would have read, "Part of that plan that God has for you is to exile you into Babylon for 70 years so that you repent of your idolatry." Let me repeat verse 5. If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. That's the skill to play. And you will remember Jerusalem, because Jerusalem represents the blessings of God to you. You may not ever be back there, but you hope for the future, at least for the next generation. You'll never forget. And you make that bargain now. May I lose my skill to play and my ability to sing if I forget. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. But that's the first three stages of grief. There's still one left before acceptance, and that's the anger. And oh, how it wells up in verse 7. Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on that day that Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to its foundations. Edom, the descendants of Esau, enemies from birth. You remember, they came while the sons of Jerusalem were impaled on spikes by the Babylonians and her daughters were raped. And rather than coming to help as your neighbors, they brought the popcorn and watched and cheered. And as the anger stirs up within you, it shifts from Edom to Babylon in verse 8. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction. Happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. I know. This is not the verse you'd expect to see at the end of a psalm. But go there with me for a minute. This is a moment of defeat, not a battle cry. It's not a "let's go get them." It's more of a "we lost and we have no power." Maybe one day, Babylon, you'll know what you've done to us. Feel the anger of those who lived through this trauma, who saw their infants seized in a rage and watched in horror as their infants were grabbed by the leg and swung at the stones to silence them forever. Maybe then you begin to understand this verse. They had seen this with their own eyes. They were traumatized. They had lived through this pain. And now they take the worst thing that they've experienced, and they pray that daughter Babylon sees her own children slain. It's a prayer for justice. It's also an acknowledgement that what goes around comes around. For there would be another empire that would rise up and defeat the Babylonians. But for now, there is only the resolve to stay strong, to not give in to the Babylonians, to peacefully submit and passively resist. Daniel would take this stance, as would Esther, in Babylon, but not of it, silently defiant, waiting for salvation, waiting for God. And in this statement, there's faith. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction. Faith that the Lord would one day deliver them and rescue them. And with that, finally, the last stage, acceptance of their circumstances. The cycle of grieving complete, they walk forward, harp in hand, singing a song of Zion so that they would never forget all that they've lost and never stop praying for the Lord and never stop praying for all that the Lord promised to one day restore.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.